This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The songs We're in the Money, Lullaby of Broadway, I Only Have Eyes for You, Chattanooga Choo Choo, The More I See You, You'll Never Know, and Serenade in Blue, which we're listening to now, were among the more popular songs of the 30s and 40s. Yet, Harry Warren, their composer, is a name most people don't recognize. That's why we're devoting two programs to his music as part of our series on American popular song. Early in his career, Warren worked as a Tin Pan Alley song plugger and songwriter. Then in 1930, he moved to Hollywood, where he wrote the songs for Busby Berkeley musicals and became the most prolific movie songwriter of the era. Our program today follows Warren in the 40s and 50s. Back with us for part two, our song historian, Philip Furia, Warren's granddaughter, Julia Riva, and our guest performers, the John Pizzarelli Trio, featuring John on guitar and vocals, his brother Martin Pizzarelli, bass, and Ray Kennedy, piano. John, several of the Harry Warren songs from the 1940s are staples of your repertoire, and one of the Warren songs that you've recorded is I Got a Gal from Kalamazoo, which was written for the 1942 movie Orchestra Wives, which was made during World War II and featured the Glenn Miller Orchestra. Now, it would be easy to dismiss the song as just a kind of slight novelty song, but it's really a terrific rhythm song, and I love the way you do it. So I'm going to ask you and the trio to perform this for us. What do you like most about the song? You chose to do it on one of your records.
Yeah, I had made a record of it with the Boston Pops, and Don Sobeski wrote the arrangement for that record, and I always liked the song, and I'd only just knew the alphabetical part of the song. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I got a gal. And when I sang the whole song on this Pops record, I thought, gee, that could actually be more than just a novelty tune, or more than just a song played by the Pops. I thought, well, we could really jazz this up. And when I talked to Don about it, and we put it on the Our Love Is Here to Stay CD, I thought, he said, oh, yeah, this is a great song. And the more he worked it out, it made it into a fun record, but there's a lot, once again, that you can do with the harmonies and the sections to make it, to just jazz it up a little. And it works as a jazz song. It's a great little tune.
Did you do it for us?
Sure. Well, do, not, ah. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I've got a gal in Kalamazoo. Don't want to boast, but I know she's the toast of Kalamazoo. Zoo, 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 zoo. Years have gone by. My, my, how she grew. I liked her looks when I carried her books in Kalamazoo. Zoo, zoo. I'm gonna send a wire, hop aboard a flyer, leaving today. Am I dreaming? I can hear her scheming. Mr. Pizzarelli, everything's okay. A-L-A-M-A-Z-O-O. What a gal, a real pipperoo. I'll make that bid for that freckle-faced kid I'm hurrying to. I'm going to Michigan to see the sweetest gal. Kalamazoo, Kalamazoo. I'm going to Michigan to see the sweetest gal in Kalamazoo. A zoo, 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 Kalamazoo.
That's great. That's a John Pizzarelli Trio. It's amazing to me how Harry Warren could write such great rhythm songs and also write such really beautiful ballads. And I'm going to ask you to do one of his beautiful ballads next, and the song is called You'll Never Know. But before I ask you to do it, there's a great story that you got to hear about this song. And now this song, by the way, sold more sheet music than any other song that Harry Warren wrote. It sold over a million copies just in sheet music. That's pretty good. And he won his second Academy Award for it. The song became an anthem for lovers who were separated by World War II. And
This story is told for us by someone who I think, John, that you know, Nick Perito.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And Nick Perito has conducted a lot of TV orchestras and was a good friend of Harry Warren's. And Perito says that Warren and his friends during World War II frequented the Del Mar racetrack. And one weekend on their way down to the track, they passed Camp Pendleton, which was a Marine base. And it left Warren determined to make some kind of melodic connection to the war. And I'm going to let Nick Perito tell the rest of the story here.
Harry, during the war years, was with a group of his friends who frequented Del Mar Racetrack down near San Diego. Bing Crosby was the owner of the track, I believe, at that time. At any rate, a group of notables from Hollywood would go down often on the train. While they were going down on this one particular weekend, they happened to pass Camp Pendleton. And Harry wanted to write something about the Army or something patriotic or wasn't sure. And by the time he got home that next day or two, whenever, he recalled that there was a trumpet call that he'd heard. And it was an Army call, but I'm sure it was also, it's also used at the racetrack to assemble either the horses or the betters. And Harry came home and started to play this trumpet call on the piano, and it goes like this. Well, he mulled that over for a little bit, and what came out was a song that we all know. So forth, here it is, a song. You'll never know just how much I love you.
Is that a great story? Ray, just do a couple of bars of both of those again, like the bugle call and... And you'll never know? That's great.
That's great.
Now, Harry Warren wrote another song that I think also has that bugle call opening. And the song is Don't Give Up the Ship, which is a song I think a lot of people recognize when they hear it. And the Navy or the Marines, I forget which, almost adapted it as a some kind of theme song. I gave you both the sheet music for that. John and Ray, would you play a few bars of Don't Give Up the Ship? We'll hear that same bugle call in the beginning there. Oh, that's funny. Well, it's just amazing to me that a bugle call could be the basis of such a beautiful ballad.
Yeah.
And John, I'd love you and the trio to do You'll Never Know for us.
Sure.
Three, four. You'll never know just how much I miss you. Never know just how much I care. And if I tried, I still couldn't hide my love for you. You ought to know, for haven't I told so a million or more times. You went away and my heart went with you. I speak your name in my there is some other way to prove that I love you. I swear I don't know how. You'll never know if you don't know.
What a wonderful song. That's the John Pizzarelli Trio with John on vocals and guitar and Martin Pizzarelli on bass, Ray Kennedy at the piano. Okay, quiz. Does anybody know what movie that song is from?
No.
No, I mean, who does? Nobody. I don't. It's from a movie called Hello, Frisco, Hello from 1943. It's an example of one of those movies where no one remembers the movie, but so many people still remember and love the song that's from it. And the movie was set at the turn of the century, not the millennium, but the dawn of the 20th century.
Right.
And Warren and lyricist Mack Warden managed to write a song that fit into the movie, but also managed to speak to what people were feeling during the war. And they really knew what they were doing. I want to play you another interview excerpt with Harry Warren explaining the motivation behind the lyric of this song.
We had a song once in a picture in, at Fox called You'll Never Know. And it was during the war, and Mack Gordon and I sat down, we tried to write a song. Of course, what threw us into the whole idea was that the picture was a period picture. So we said, if we can only get an idea about a lyric where the girl misses somebody, and it could also mean that a girl of today who misses somebody that's in the armed services.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how this whole thing came about. And we played it for people, they liked it, you know. I wasn't crazy about it or anything. But when the picture was released, that song became a hit overnight.
That's Harry Warren, a tape excerpt that comes from the Harry Warren Archive.
Yeah, what's interesting about it, that's a lot of war songs refer to the war also and can't be played now. And this song only just talks about longing, and that's why you can sing it. It makes sense anytime, any place.
There's something about the opening of this song that strikes me as such as so characteristic of a type of Harry Warren ballad. For example, the opening bar or two is very similar to his song, I Had the Craziest Dream. John, would you play the opening bars of both of those songs?
Yeah, sure. You have... You'll never know just how much I miss you. Then what the other one is... I had the craziest dream last night. Yes, I did. And what was interesting is when we were running it over, my brother said, did he write Craziest Dream too? Because he heard the same elements of Craziest Dream and You'll Never Know.
Some of the more popular songs during World War II, such as You'll Never Know and I Had the Craziest Dream, were written by Harry Warren for movie musicals. Philip Furia is back to talk with us about those musicals of the 40s. Furia is the author of The Poets of Tin Pan Alley and is at work on a biography of songwriter Johnny Mercer. He's the vice chair of the Creative Writing Department at the University of North Carolina at Wilmington. Harry Warren's music helped revitalize the movie musical in the 1930s, but he had a hand in several trends of the 1940s movie musicals as well. What were some of those trends?
Well, the emphasis on regionalism that that you get in songs like Chattanooga Choo Choo and Atchison and Topeka and the Santa Fe. He was a big band composer. He wrote things for Glenn Miller, who made films. With his orchestra. He made movies with a Latin American flavor for Carmen Miranda. Those incredible numbers where, you know, she has the fruit baskets on her head. So he wrote in a Latin American style for that. You know, the range of Warren's music is really extraordinary. He could go from very, very rhythmic jazz numbers, particularly in the 1930s, like Lullaby of Broadway. But in the 1940s, he could write that much sweeter kind of sound, You'll Never Know, and, you know, a very homespun kind of sound, like I Got a Gal in Kalamazoo. So that he was able to draw on both, you know, a very rhythmic style and a very sweet ballad sentimental style as well.
Harry Warren's major songwriting partners were Al Dubin in the 1930s for his Busby Berkeley musicals, and then Mack Gordon in the 1940s, wrote the lyrics to such songs as The More I See You, I Had the Craziest
Yes.
Dream, Chattanooga Choo Choo, At Last.
Mm-hmm.
Could you compare Al Dubin and Mack Gordon's lyrics and their impact on Harry Warren's songs?
Well, I don't know that they had a lot of impact on his songs because, as with most songwriting teams, he wrote the music first, and then they would have to set lyrics to it. Dubin was very much the urban lyricist. He had a real feel for the vernacular, and there was always a kind of gritty street character to Dubin's lyrics. Mack Gordon was a much sweeter ballad writer, more openly sentimental. It was good for Warren because when he split up with Dubin and then went to work with Mack Gordon, it was a different decade. It was World War II, and the whole feel of American life was changing. You know, it wasn't anymore the glitz of Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, you know, dancing across an Art Deco penthouse. It was a time when America was turning more to regions apart from New York. I mean, songs like I Got a Gal in Kalamazoo or the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. America is really looking beyond New York to the rural world. A musical like Oklahoma, which would have been unheard of in the 1930s, became the big hit. Or The Harvey Girls, which is about waitresses in a Fred Harvey's restaurants out in the West. There was a much more emphasis on Americana, on open sentiment, and Warren, his music changed to suit that. He became a more opulent, sentimental composer, but fortunately he had a lyricist like Mack Gordon, who was more attuned to that new style of the 1940s.
Harry Warren wrote songs for several of Betty Grable's musicals, and she, of course, was like the armed forces' number one pinup girl during World War II.
Yes.
And many of Harry Warren's love songs from the musicals of that era were almost anthems for lovers who were separated by the war, songs like You'll Never Know and I Had the Craziest Dream.
Yeah, I mean, you could see how songs would be embraced by both soldiers who were hearing them. And remember, Glenn Miller and a lot of those bands toured the theaters of war and brought those songs to the boys, and they heard them on the radio. Songs that both the soldiers embraced and the women on the home front could turn to thinking about the boys who were no longer around.
Do you have a favorite Harry Warren song from the 1940s?
I think it would be, boy, it would be a toss-up between Serenade in Blue and On the Atchison, Topeka in the Santa Fe, which I almost love just for its title. It's a natural piece of American rhythm. Johnny Mercer said he once saw it on the side of a train and thought, On the Atchison, Topeka in the Santa Fe, how musical that bit of Americana is.
And of course, Judy Garland sang that in,
a wonderful
in the Harvey
production
Girls
number. Yes. And, you know, so many train songs of the 1940s. I mean, that was the era when train travel was glamorous. You know, you stopped at the Harvey restaurants, and so many films were set on the trains. And with Chattanooga Choo Choo and Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe, Warren really captures the feel, I mean, the rhythm of the train moving itself that is so wonderful when Judy Garland actually, you know, pumps her arms and leads a whole chorus of people as the train is pulling in.
That's Harry Warren's title song from the 1957 film An Affair to Remember. Harry Warren wrote many hit songs for the movie musicals of the 30s and 40s. Although he continued to write music for movies in the 50s, the movie musical was in decline. I asked song historian Philip Furia about this change and how it affected Harry Warren's songwriting.
His music in the 1950s, toward the end of his career, in some ways it went back to what was most native to his songwriting style. Harry Warren, his real name was Salvatore Goranga. He was Italian, one of the few songwriters who was Italian-American. His favorite composer was Puccini. And if you think of a song like An Affair to Remember, it's gorgeous and opulent and sweeping. It's very much like something you would hear from a Puccini aria. So in some ways, when the 50s came in, with all of their kind of bloat and excess, you know, the big tail fins on cars and starlets like Jane Mansfield. You know, it was just this extravagant decade. And Warren, I think, reached back into that Italian love for Puccini and aria and came up with songs that really were even fitted for that decade.
Harry Warren's first musical, 42nd Street, helped revitalize the Hollywood musical. What happened to Harry Warren's career when musicals started dying out in the 1950s?
The musical, as an original Hollywood product, not as a remake of a Broadway musical, which was pretty much all that was being done by the end of the 1950s, that original Hollywood musical died out when television came in and films simply could not compete for the audience with television. And they looked at musicals, which were by far the most expensive kind of films to make. And they just said, we can't do this anymore. It's not the Depression where people will work for pennies a day. So Hollywood pretty much abandoned the musical by the end of the 1950s. And Warren did what a lot of songwriters had done at the very beginning of sound pictures. Instead of writing a whole score for a musical, he would write a theme song or a title song. And that's all he got to do. He would write That's Amore for a Martin and Lewis musical. Or he would write An Affair to Remember for that wonderful Cary Grant, Deborah Carr movie. And, you know, the song would be heard once in the film and maybe at the beginning and the end. But it was basically a movie that was built around a single song.
We know you're saying Harry Warren wrote theme songs. He even wrote the theme for a TV show that our listeners might remember, Wyatt Earp.
Oh, yes, I'm old enough to remember that. I don't think that was one he would want to be remembered by.
Yeah.
But, you know, he adapted to changes in the medium. I mean, he was there when sound movies came in 1927, and he went out to Hollywood, and he was resilient and creative, and he adapted to that style. And when TV came in, he gave that a shot as well.
Well, let's hear the theme he wrote for Wyatt Earp, just to give everybody a sense of the kind of work that he had to do and how he handled it.
Wyatt Earp, Wyatt Earp, brave, courageous, and bold. Long live his fame, and long live his glory, and long may his story be told.
The theme from the TV series The Life and Legend of Wyatt Earp, which premiered in 1955. Music by Harry Warren, lyrics by Harold Adamson, with whom Warren also wrote An Affair to Remember. My guest is song historian Philip Furia. Do you have a favorite song from Harry Warren's musicals?
My favorite would be I Only Have Eyes for You. It's a beautiful song, very simple, like so many of his songs. A lovely lyric by Al Dubin. And I was thinking that earlier that song has so endured, there was even a rock version of I Only Have Eyes for You.
The Flamingos.
Is that who did it?
Yeah, it was
because I was just thinking last night, the first time I ever parked with a young lady, that song was on the radio, the doo-wop version of
Are you
I Only
kidding?
Have Eyes for You. So I owe Harry Warren my first kiss in the backseat of a car.
I won't ask you how far you got.
not very. It was the 1950s.
Well, Philip Furia, thank you so much for talking with us about Harry Warren. Really enjoyed it. John, you were in a Broadway review called Dream that was a salute to Johnny Mercer, who wrote some lyrics for Harry Warren, including the song Jeepers Creepers. Mm-hmm. And it was written for the 1938 film Going Places and originally sung by Armstrong.
Oh, great. Movie.
Yeah. So this is a song I know you performed a lot. Maybe you can do it for us now.
Sure thing. Ready, fellas? Jeep four.
Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those eyes? Gosh, oh, get up, how'd they get so lit up? Gosh, oh, get up, how'd they get that size? Golly gee, when you turn those heaters on, woe is me, I got to put my cheaters on. Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Oh, those weepers, how they hypnotize. Where'd you get those eyes? Thank you.
turn those heaters on. Oh, it's me, I got to put my cheaters on. Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Oh, those weepers, how they hypnotize. Where did you get those eyes?
Jeepers Creepers, another great Harry Warren song played for us by the John Pizzarelli Trio. John, before you had to do that song for the Broadway Review Dream, would you have chosen that song?
No. We never got to that tune for some reason. And when we actually sat down and thought up an arrangement of the song, it's become one of my favorite arrangements in our trio book, because it just works the jazz chords in it, and it was the basis for many jazz tunes. One in particular is... it's Slip Disc. It's the Benny Goodman tune, Slip Disc, with Charlie Christian. And that chord structure was used for that melody. And you would never think that would be a chord structure used for that, but they are. It's a very... It's got all the basis for great jazz harmonies, and it's a fun song. As we say, it's a fun song to blow on. You can do a lot of different things. We go to a different key in our blowing section and things like that, and I like that. Is there anything you like about it in particular?
Well, actually, Dizzy Gillespie also wrote a tune on this.
Well, there you go.
It's called Tour de Force, and a more modern jazz player putting that song into another form.
Would you play the Gillespie song?
Let's see.
Yeah, I can hear that. I can hear that that's the changes. Yeah.
And actually, we played it on one of our videos, and we call it St. Louiselle.
That's right.
Where we went... Because it was fun. It's that kind of song, you know.
Well, this helps explain why Harry Warren is played so many songs are played by jazz musicians. Like, the chords are so good.
And also, the melodies are very memorable. When you have to sit down and learn these songs, the melodies make total sense, and they just commit themselves to your mind easily. It's a beautiful thing.
John, before we started this show, you mentioned that one of your favorite Harry Warren songs is September in the Rain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love for you and the trio to play that. But before you do, there's another story behind the song.
Great.
That I want you to hear. This song was used in the 1937 film Melody for Two, and in the movie it was performed by an opera singer named James Melton. But the song almost didn't make it into the film because the studio head, Jack Warner, didn't like it when Harry Warren first played the song for him. I'll let Harry Warren tell the whole story. This is a good example of his frustration in dealing with studio executives who didn't necessarily have a very good ear for music.
You're playing for people that don't know much about music, and the most important thing depends on the demonstration, not what the contents of the song. What they're mostly impressed by is a good demonstration. Now, I remember what James Milton was at the Metropolitan Opera House, you know, when he brought him out for a picture, and we wrote September in the Rain. And when I played and sang it to Jack Warren, he didn't like it. And I couldn't understand why he didn't like it in the door on me, because the guy's got a tin ear or something, or he doesn't know. And I said, I know how to get around this. I got a hold of Bill Elfo, and I got a hold of Jimmy Milton, who was crazy about the song. And while J.L. was going to lunch, I asked him to step in and hear Jimmy sing the song. He came in, he said, that's a wonderful song. But I didn't say I played it for you, you didn't like it. You see, he was acting like he had heard it for the first time. That's how you get around those corners.
That's Harry Warren, and the tape comes from the Harry Warren archive. Any reaction to that story, guys?
I just love what he has to say. I personally, the reaction is, I would never want to run into Harry Warren in a dark alley.
You know? Well, he was known for a temper. I think a lot of people might have felt
Margaret Whiting used to say that about him. He could be cool as a cucumber, but then when, you know, he did have quite a temper. But I'll tell you, it doesn't come through in the song, so it's a beautiful melody. Well, he was Italian. He's an Italian of Italian... heritage, so that's where you get a lot of those great melodies too, you know.
Says John Pizzarelli.
That's right. Go for that's a big plus for the Italians.
Would you play September in the Rain for
sure.
us?
Sure.
The leaves leaves of brown came tumbling down, remember, in September, in the rain. The sun went out just like a dying ember that September in the rain. To every word of love I heard you whisper, the raindrops seemed to play a sweet refrain. Though spring is here, to me it's still September, that September in the rain. To play a sweet refrain. Though spring is here, to me it's still September, that September in the rain, that September in the rain.
September in the Rain, performed by the John Pizzarelli Trio. John, you want to say anything about the song?
Why horrible, you like it
horrible so
much? Song.
Horrible song. Another horrible song.
Actually, I find that melody fits the lyric perfectly. There's something melancholy about that. I think it's in the da 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 da. There's something about that opening line that makes the whole thing. It totally gives you the idea of September in the rain. There's something about it that's perfect. It just got the right feeling for that.
Well, it's been wonderful to hear you perform Harry Warren songs. And I'm wondering if there's any final words you'd like to leave us with about Harry Warren as a songwriter. What sums him up for you, what you like about his songs?
Well, I like the fact that there's actually there's a complexity about it that's highly musical and really ahead of its time for when it was written. Would you agree with that, Ray?
Yeah, and also his melodic sense is like just terrific. There's always a point of any song, maybe even just two measures, that you'll find singing over and over and over and over again because it has a magical effect on you. So his melodic sense is extraordinary, I think, as well.
When you even think about I Only Have Eyes for You, the way he goes da 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 da, and then the second time da 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 da, he never leaves you hanging. And as a vocalist, everything's still, it's all in curved lines. There's no corners to the melodies. He always gets you there, and the note always falls right into the chord. So you, if you're lost, you just listen to the chord and you can hear the melody note right at the heart of that, of where you're at. You know, you're never lost.
Well, this has been wonderful. It's been such a pleasure hearing you play and talk about the songs of Harry Warren. Thank you all so much for being with us for this show.
Our pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we've heard John Pizzarelli on guitar and vocals, with Martin Pizzarelli on bass, Ray Kennedy at the piano. In the late 50s and 60s, when there wasn't much call for new Harry Warren songs, some of his old songs were getting reworked into hits by rock and pop singers, like this Chris Montez version of The More I See You.
The more I see you, the more I want you. Somehow this feeling just grows and grows.
We talked about this era with Warren's granddaughter, Julia Riva. She's the head of 4J's Music Publishing, which was founded by Harry Warren in 1954. In the 1950s, particularly by the late 50s, Harry Warren's music was displaced on the pop music charts by rock and roll. Was he angry or bitter about rock and roll? It certainly changed the landscape of pop music.
Well, I'll never forget playing for him and actually Rocco Vacco of Bregman, Vacco and Kahn, Rock Around the Clock. And, you know, they were horrified that, you know, music had come to this. And unfortunately, I really do believe that if he hadn't been maybe so old-fashioned, you know, he could have continued to write for almost anybody. Because certainly people have recorded his songs, The Flamingos and Simon and Garfunkel and even Susie and the Banshees.
Well, when I was growing up, there were at least two Harry Warren songs that were big hits in rock or pop versions. And one of them was the Flamingos doo-wop version of I Only Have Eyes for You. And the other was the Chris Montez hit of The More I See You. Did Harry Warren ever comment to you about these rock versions of his songs?
Sure. I don't think he liked the Flamingos version, but, you know, he was torn between the fact that it was a big hit and, you know, the fact that it wasn't exactly, you know, his style, a straight style. So I think that was hard for him.
Now, did your friends know these rock versions, and did that make Harry Warren more important in your circle of friends?
See, he was already, you know, important to us, not by the fact that he was a famous songwriter, but by the fact that he was Daddy Warren and that he presided over the family. He liked to think with an iron hand. Of course, you know, nobody really paid attention to him, but, you know, he would be at his post at the pool, you know, when we were little. He would, you know, appear of a summer's day with his suntan lotion skull, which he would majestically put on his body, and then he would get into the pool like a pasha, you know, and he would then tell us about how we all had to learn to float in case of shipwreck, you know. So, you know, we loved him just for him and the fact that he was around a lot.
I'd love to end by playing one of Harry Warren's favorite of his own songs. Would you choose one?
I think one of his big favorites was There Will Never Be Another You.
Well, why don't we close with that? Julia Riva, I thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you.
Julia Riva is Harry Warren's granddaughter and the head of the music publishing company he founded, 4J's Music. Harry Warren died in 1981 at the age of 87. Let's bring back the John Pizzarelli Trio to perform one of the Harry Warren songs Harry Warren liked best.
This is our last dance together. Tonight soon will be long ago. And in our moment of parting, this is all I want you to know. There will be many other nights like this, and I'll be standing here with someone new. There will be other songs to sing, another fall, another spring, but there will never be another you. Other lips that I may kiss, but they won't thrill me like yours used to do. Yes, I may dream a million dreams, but how can they come true if there will never ever be another.
the John Pizzarelli Trio, concluding our tribute to Harry Warren. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our series on American popular song is produced in collaboration with Margaret Pick and the Pacific Vista Productions team with Terry Bronson. Anne-Marie Baldonado is the series' associate producer. The performances by the John Pizzarelli Trio were recorded by Jim Zack at NOLA Studios in New York. Joyce Lieberman is the technical supervisor for our series, additional engineering by Bob Purdick and Audrey Bentham. Digital consulting by Gemma Hooley of the Soundprint Multimedia Center. Our thanks to Julia Riva, Jophie Jones-Gaddis, and Dick Harpum of the Harry Warren Archive, Jim Steinblatt of ASCAP, Rudy Belmer, author of Inside Warner Brothers, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences Archive, the Warner Brothers Archive at the University of Southern California, Hugh Forden of DRG Records, Bob Leone of the Songwriters Hall of Fame, Chris Payton at the Johnny Mercer Archive, Dwight Blocker Bowers of the Smithsonian Institution, film critic Leonard Maltin, and pianist Dick Hyman. I'm Terry Gross. This special edition of Fresh Air, one in a six-part series on American popular song, has been made possible by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. For more than 30 years, expanding America's understanding of who we were, who we are, and who we will be. Support for Fresh Air comes from the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced.